Hey guys, Trevor here with E-commerce Paradise, and today I want to talk about mindsets for success and scaling with high-ticket dropshipping. If it's your first time listening or watching one of these videos, check out ecommerceparadise.com/niches to get a free niches list for high-ticket dropshipping, as well as a free mini course and niche research guide. All right guys, so it's really important to have the right mindset and you're trying to build a business, any business in the first place, but especially an online business, because maybe you just haven't done it before. And that's usually the biggest problem that I've seen, is that like people that are new to this don't have the mindset for it yet. And that's totally normal, okay? It's easy to not understand the mindset that you need for something the first time you do it. And you kind of have to just like usually just jump in the water and learn how to swim, or take lessons to learn how to swim. Okay, but the key thing is you need to find a coach like me, or somebody who you're going to listen to, and someone who's been there before and who does really good results and has results and has made as many mistakes as they have success. And just make sure that person is, you're going to actually listen to that person and what that person has to say. Okay. So a lot of people get into this. Number one, they think that they can do it for free, which is not true. You do have to have some money to start an online business. You have to be able to have a computer that costs money, or you have to be able to, set up certain accounts online, which cost money. And you need to, usually put some money into content, or, put money into paid advertising in order to get sales. So, specifically, I kind of want to talk about investing money, because that's sort of the main holdback that a lot of people have in the beginning, is how much money that it's going to cost. There's other things like how much time it's going to take and learning how to use the software and stuff like that. But most of that stuff can kind of be overcome. I see some people struggle with it more than others, but I think the main thing is, number one, in the very beginning, you have to learn how to use a computer, and you have to learn how to deal with technical issues, especially things on the internet, like logging in and, setting up accounts and saving passwords. And you have to get really good at organization and using spreadsheets, because if you've never done this kind of stuff before, it's going to be really hard to manage a business if you don't know how to organize things. So I would recommend learn how to use Microsoft Word or Google Docs, learn how to use Microsoft Excel or Google Sheets, and learn how to use a calendar, learn how to use Gmail or another email program. All these things are like super fundamental and foundational. But if you don't have that knowledge first before you try to start one of these businesses, you're going to get completely lost and so frustrated. And I've seen it happen a lot of times before, even with people that are really close to me, where they just get so frustrated with their computer that they end up just blowing up and freaking out. And it's just because maybe like they forgot their password or something like that. And there's tools you can use online for things like that. Like LastPass, for instance, is a really good tool. It comes with a Google Chrome extension. You put all your passwords into it, and it automatically enters them into the login screen, so you don't have to remember stuff. The other option, of course, is using something like a Google Sheet or a spreadsheet on your computer to keep that. But even that has issues where it can, get hacked or be lost or something like that. So I would recommend just using a tool like LastPass. It's free. So anyway, so once you get past all the kind of technical stuff, I think one of the biggest things is the monetary investment. So of course it's going to cost some money to start up, but like any business, any business costs money to start up. Actually, this is a lot less expensive than most businesses. Now, if you consider the alternative to dropshipping, which is having inventory and shipping it yourself, it's always going to be more expensive. You're going to have to have inventory in your house or your garage or a warehouse somewhere. It's going to be boxes, and it's probably going to be, lots of different crates and shelving with, things in it. I used to work in a warehouse that was in the security industry. So there was like locks, and there was keys, and then there was, all sorts of things related to security and hardware and safes and stuff like that. And so I had to learn how to, organize things, according to brand names and SKU numbers and stuff like that. And that was my job. I worked in the warehouse for the first few years I worked at that company. And it was a great experience, because retailing and warehousing and wholesaling really comes with a lot of organizational skill set. You have to learn organizational skills. You have to learn alphanumeric organization. And, when you're first starting out, it's not as intuitive. But when you get into it and you learn it and you practice it a lot, then it becomes more intuitive. So categorization and keyword research is really important. But, all of this stuff really is going to cost some money at the end of the day. So let's talk about, you got to have hosting, website hosting. It's like 20, 30 bucks a month, 40 bucks a month, maybe. You got to have a professional email service. That's like 5 or 10 bucks a month. You got to have a professional phone service, probably like 20, 30 bucks a month. You're going to have some graphics made for your business. Maybe it's going to cost you upwards of $50 to $100 for all the different graphics and things like that that you'll want to get, like your logo and stuff. You're going to either have to do the work yourself or hire somebody to do it for you. So there's an outsourcing fee, or, you know, you got to learn how to do it yourself. You know, there's going to be other software like apps and things like that, like research apps or live chat or, you know, optimization apps and, you know, like inventory sync apps or supplier databases you might want to have to pay for membership fees for. Obviously, you might need to pay for some kind of educational service or coaching services or consulting services of some kind. So there's always going to be some fees, but stocking inventory is way more expensive than dropshipping, because dropshipping, usually 99% of the time, it's free to sign up with these suppliers. Sometimes, you know, if they don't know you or whatever, they'll charge you like an upfront deposit. It's pretty common, but you get to apply it towards your first order, obviously. So it's just sort of like a little bit less risky for the supplier. But generally speaking, it's free to sign up with these suppliers. And so, you know, you have access to their, you know, 10 or hundreds or thousands of products catalog that they have. Sometimes it's a lot. And you can have all those products uploaded to your website, and you don't have to actually stock them yourself. Imagine if you wanted to get a high ticket supplier and actually stock all their products in a warehouse. That would be insanely expensive. And I know that there's businesses that do that. There's websites that have warehouse fulfillment centers, and they stock those products, and you can actually go to them and stuff like that. And I think saferwholesale.com is one of those. You should check them out. Safer Wholesale, I think that's what they're called. So that website is actually like just a typical dropshipping website. But the difference is they have a big ass warehouse and a ton of these high ticket products sitting around, like steam showers and saunas and things that are just like insanely big and insanely expensive, but they have them there. And so you can go by their warehouse, wherever it happens to be, and check it out. And that's a lot of work. So, you know, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars of upfront investment if you want to build out some kind of a warehouse. And that's just a warehouse. If you want to build out like a retail storefront or like a showroom or something like that, you're talking even more, because then you've got to have fixtures and you've got to have things like retail merchandising displays, and you've got to have a POS system and all this stuff. So there's a ton of upfront investment when it comes to physical retail. I actually opened up a bike shop at one point because back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I was selling, you know, like fixies and road bikes and electric bikes online. And so, you know, I opened up a physical bike shop in Los Angeles, and I saw firsthand how expensive it was. It was just ridiculous. And I had to buy all the stock and the inventory, and some of the suppliers that are these big brands, they wouldn't sell just one or two. You have to buy a whole pallet load of their products in order to even, you know, have an order with them. And so the cost just went through the roof. I had initially planned for maybe $10,000, $20,000. And I think it cost closer to like somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000 for the upfront investment. And this, we're just talking a small, like flex space retail shop in Los Angeles. And that includes like the rent, that included the bill, like electric and power. And I had to get insurance. I had to get security cameras. And there were all sorts of added on costs. It was just kind of crazy. And it was a good experience, but I decided that that just wasn't for me. I like to travel. I like to work from home. I don't like to have like a bunch of coworkers around me all the time. I like to deal with people through the internet because there's kind of a barrier there. So if you're in a bad mood or you're sick or whatever, you just let them know and you're not going to have to talk to them. As opposed to having like a physical store, like there's always got to be someone physically there, physically present to do the work. You can't just avoid that. So you've got to hire employees and stuff like that. Now, of course, you can hire VAs and stuff like that to manage your business. But if you do like I do and, you know, hire in the Philippines, they're going to cost a lot less. They're going to still work your hours, and they speak English really good, and they're very smart people. And they can manage your business if you happen to just not want to do it one day, or you want to take a break and go out, they're still going to do the work for you. So I like this kind of lifestyle. And you probably do too if you're watching these videos and trying to learn from me. But you have to have the mindset of scaling, and it's, you know, there's upfront costs to that, right? Which I already went over, but there's also a lot more when you want to actually scale a business. So the upfront costs of getting a website up and getting suppliers and all that is pretty minimal, maybe a few $100. But the thing is once you start launching and trying to get traffic, costs can be, you know, exponential. The best way to get on the first page of Google or Bing is to do ads in the beginning, because you're just not going to get there without advertising. If you have like a special relationship with a supplier that doesn't have much competition for the dealer base, and there's just not a lot of competition, you might have a chance of ranking first page for one of the keywords for the products that you sell. But that's pretty rare. And most of the time you're going to be in very competitive niche markets where you have a lot of competition that is on the organics already, especially from these big box stores like Amazon and Wayfair or whatever. And then there's also going to be a lot of competition, you know, from in social media and things like that, YouTube. So just know what you're up against. And so you have to run ads. And the best way to run ads is Google Shopping Ads. Google Shopping Ads appear at the top of the search results. They have a picture, a price, a store name, and an offer. And people are very gravitated towards that usually. And so they go through shopping ads and they click the shopping ads. And it's the best way to get sales, especially in the beginning. So first thing we do when we launch a new store is we launch Google Shopping Ads and Bing Shopping Ads. And then we back those up with retargeting campaigns with Google, and we back it up with also some search ads campaigns with Google. And if you want to run social media ads, you can do retargeting with Facebook and YouTube. But usually that comes a bit later. It's not really that important in the beginning. But ads aren't free, right? Now, Google Merchant Center does have like a free program, but you're not going to get that many clicks through it. To be fair, the sponsored listings are always at the top, and they're always going to get most of the clicks, just like any organic ranking. The first spot gets like 60 to 80% of the clicks, and each spot down there gets like an incremental amount less than the first spot does. So being in the first spot is always going to get you the most clicks. Now, you have to pay for that, and it's not cheap usually. It's cost per click, so it's only when somebody clicks your ads, but it's going to cost you somewhere between 50 cents to $1.50 to maybe $3 to $5 per click. And it's just pretty average. So get used to that. And if you want to get enough traffic to get sales, consider what the average conversion rate is for e-commerce stores. It's usually between 0.5% to, you know, maybe 2% at the highest. And so that means you gotta have to get between 50 to 150 or 200 clicks to get a sale. Okay. And when you're talking about an average CPC of maybe 50 cents to a dollar, then you're talking about spending $100 to $200 a day to get one or two of these high ticket sales. And that means, you know, you're going to spend quite a bit of money, and hopefully these high ticket sales add up. Now, for the math to work, you really have to get to at least a 10 to 20x ROAS. And ROAS stands for return on ad spend. And so 10x basically means if you spend $100 on ads, you get $1,000 in sales. And that really only works if your suppliers are offering a 20% margin, gross margin, or higher. And that's after shipping. If they're offering you, you know, a margin of like 20% and then they charge shipping costs, it's going to lower your margins to like 5 or 10%, and then you're not going to have anything left. So you really got to have that 20% minimum, because usually you offer like a discount around 5%, like 2 to 5%. You're going to have a free gift sometimes. And of course, you have to pay for those ads and pay for a VA. So for the math to really work out, a 15 to 20x ROAS is ideal, because you want this to also pay for your personal expenses. And if you have like a $3,000 to $5,000 a month, you know, in personal expenses, which is pretty average, I think, then you need to be making at least like $50,000 to $70,000 a month in sales to be able to pay your personal expenses, you know, or more. $100,000 a month in sales usually is going to give you a better lifestyle, obviously. And then on top of that, of course, you have to keep in mind that not every sale is going to go perfectly. There's always going to be like shipping damages and sales that like it doesn't even arrive, or maybe there's a warranty issue, and some customers will file chargebacks. And like with dropshipping, a common thing is taking back orders. And back orders means that the product is out of stock, because inventory is not perfect in dropshipping. There's always going to be a disconnect between the supplier and you. And so, you know, if you have to take a back order, that means waiting maybe a month or two. And maybe by that time, the customer figured something else out, or they decided to cancel the order. And so you're going to have to deal with that. And sometimes customers won't even contact you to cancel the order. They'll just contact their bank to file a dispute. And then, you know, so what I usually tell new dropshippers is you have to keep in mind that cash flow is really important to keep track of in this business. Because with high ticket dropshipping, you might get a bunch of orders, right? And so your checking account kind of balloons, like $10, $20, $30, $50,000, you think you have a ton of money. But in reality, there's a lot of cost of goods sold maybe that haven't been covered yet by that, especially if they're back order. So keep a good spreadsheet, a bookkeeping sheet that kind of adds up all the profit report stuff and kind of know where your cash flow is at. And you got to have a personal budget as well. Know what you're spending monthly for your personal expenses. Even if it's like kind of high, you know, you need to lower your personal expenses. That's fine. At least keep track of it. You know, just each of your credit cards, get your monthly statement and try to separate your spending between business cards and personal cards as much as possible. Because if you can keep certain cards personal only, it makes it way easier to run your budgets every month. I usually have like a personal card for one type of spending and another personal card for a different type of spending. That makes it super easy because then I know, okay, I spent this much on groceries every month, this month on eating out and travel this month, you know, this month, whatever. So doing that really helps. Business credit cards, usually you can find a card with like 1.5 or 2x points or percent cash back. Just try to get like one or two or maybe three. If you want to scale, you're going to have some backups and you're going to have a high credit limit as well. And these things are all just really important. But at the end of the day, just keep in mind that you're going to have to spend more on ads to get more traffic, okay? So the more traffic you get, the more sales you'll likely get. So if you're getting like 200, 300 clicks a day and you get like one or two sales, that's not bad, okay? So, you know, keep scaling. Maybe raise your bids a little bit higher or something like that and just see. And if it results in less sales for some reason, then I would scale back. I would always try to keep your ad spend in line with a 15 to 20X ROAS goal. And if you can't quite get there, 10X ROAS is probably fine too, but just know that you're gonna have to be tighter with your budget, with your spending. And the most important thing to be careful with is business growth spending. This is where I've kind of made the biggest mistakes in my life and my experience, is spending too much on business growth, expecting my business is going to scale limitlessly. And that's not always the case. You know, some of these businesses, they might have like a big upswing in the beginning and then kind of plateau off and kind of do this for a while. It really has, there's a lot of factors involved, and factors aren't just internal. They're also, you know, market-wise, like industry-wise, and there's also just like macroeconomic factors, like, you know, for instance, during the pandemic, they were printing a lot of money at the Fed, and that money was going out and investors were spending that money. And that meant that a lot of these retail stores, especially online retail stores, during the pandemic were getting tons of sales more than normal. And I was getting tons of sales more than normal, but I didn't realize that it was a bubble. And so that bubble burst in 2022, everything kind of came crashing down and sales started plummeting. And I wasn't expecting that. And I was spending a lot on business growth, and I made that mistake that I wasn't able to then pay off all that money. So I ended up with a lot of credit card debt, and the business didn't do as well. And unfortunately, I was forced to sell it. And I got lucky enough to find someone who was willing to acquire it because they wanted to build long term and kind of wait for the next big bubble to build it up to, which is great. It's good for them. And it was also good for me because I got out of a pit of debt. And you know, you just got to look towards the future. And when it comes to investments and growth, you have to, you know, do it sustainably if you're bootstrapping. And if you want to grow and get more sales and more revenue and stuff like that and grow faster, you're probably going to have to look for an investor, someone who can provide you with capital or backing, and that you can kind of have like a limitless credit line, kind of like the US does. Like imagine if the US had a credit limit and they just couldn't spend past a certain limit. The country as a whole would eventually go into bankruptcy and just default on its debt and not be able to pay it off because the country is just not sustainable. We have a deficit. We've had a deficit for many, many decades now. And it's kind of crazy that there is you know, a system set up where there's just like unlimited credit ceiling for the entire country of the US. And it's great as long as there's lots of faith in the US dollar and faith in the US government system and all that stuff. But you know, if that ever happened to change, then of course things would change drastically in the US. But for now we're great, and it's a strong economy and there's jobs and stuff, but it's only because the US continues to spend. Almost, it just seems limitlessly. And just kind of don't look at your business with that same perspective. You aren't the US government, and you're not going to be able to have limitless amounts of spending and debt to just like draw upon, unless you do find investors or you're able to figure out some bank financing or something like that that you can. So just know that there's multiple avenues here, but just at the end of the day, you're going to have to spend quite a bit of money to scale your store. But I would definitely do it sustainably, and I would definitely put more work into it yourself as opposed to outsourcing. I would only outsource when absolutely necessary, as opposed to outsourcing like everything all the time, because you as a human being have tons of potential and tons of time throughout the day. So just know that you can get a lot of work done yourself. And so be careful with your spending, careful with your budget, and always be prospecting and trying to find new leads. And yeah, I should probably wrap this up now. I'm going on about 20 minutes. This is a longer than expected talk, but there is a lot to talk about when it comes to budgeting and prioritization of spend and making sure that you have the right mindset for it all. But again, like you can just go out and find a mentor or just watch lots of YouTube videos and podcasts and listen to people that have been there and talk about it and kind of like if they made the mistakes and all that, like listen to them because that's basically how it goes. There's avenues you get to. There's intersections in life and business. And once you get to those avenues, those intersections, you have to make a decision, a choice which way you want to go. All right, so if you decide to take the avenue, the intersection of going the direction of high-ticket dropshipping, and if you decide that I'm a good mentor for you, I am available for consultations. If you go to ecommerceparadise.com/coaching, you can get private coaching from me. You can also sign up for my masterclass at high-ticket dropshipping masterclass at my website, ecommerceparadise.com, and I have a turnkey service as well where I will build out a custom high-ticket dropshipping store for you, and I have lots of great research niches ready for you at ecommerceparadise.com/niches. Definitely hit subscribe if you want to get more content, and I will see you out there, guys. Take care.